Well, today I am so excited and thrilled to have the guest that we have today. Honestly, he's probably one of my closest friends in life, even though we usually only see each other once or twice a year. Really has become one of my closest friends in life. I met him in 1997 when he took a risk and invited me to preach their conference in England. I was just a young kid, just began in ministry, didn't know what I was doing, and he took a risk to invite me. And they have a national conference with thousands of people from all over Europe that go to that conference, and he took a risk on me and brought me over to Europe to speak, and God just did incredible things. And through his church, through his life, through his family's life, through the conference there, they did more in my life than I ever gave them at the conference, and really impacted me. Every time I go visit them in England, it's like a spiritual awakening in my life where God just does something really special in my life and takes me to a new level. Never been around people as genuine about their faith and just very humble, very, you know, there's nothing showy about them. They're just very humble and very committed to the cause of Christ and leading an incredible work of God, a revival in Europe right now, reaching people for Jesus Christ. And I'm excited to have him today and to really introduce one of my best friends to my family this morning. And I know you're going to love him. Last night was a great message. This morning was even more painful and challenging to me. It just felt like he just cut me up, not in a condemning way, but in a very challenging, convicting way. And I hope that you feel the same pain that I felt at the 9:30 service. Because, I mean, you know, sometimes God wants to make you uncomfortable for him. God really wants to get you uncomfortable because we are on earth for mission. And he's going to be talking about that mission today. So welcome one of my dearest friends in all my life, one of the most humble and just genuine Christians I know, Clive Urquhart, today. That's right.
Great. You ready to get cut up this morning then? It's a real honor to be here. We're here as a family, and we've developed, obviously, a great friendship with Aaron over the last 16, 17 years. And when Aaron and Amanda got married a few years back, got to know her as well. And it's just great to see what God's doing in their lives and with them, you know, leading the church here. My wife is here. This is Jane, if you want to stand up. We lead the church together we're just south of London, near Gatwick Airport, and God is English, and so we're just, he always speaks to me in an English accent, so he must be English, so we'll lend him to you, and but we're just south of London leading a church there, and we have a kind of network of churches in the UK and some other things going on in Europe. Also got my family here as well. Toby, you've already seen him up here as part of the worship team this morning. Toby, just stand up. This is Toby. I've got two others here as well, Joe and Megan. Are you guys somewhere? Where are you guys? Can you guys stand up? This is Joe. Joe's the oldest one, 21, and Megan is 12. So it's great to be over here. Just want to thank you guys, and particularly the Hovis family as well, just for your incredible hospitality and generosity while we've been here. And it's great to get to know you guys while we're here. Just got a message this morning that I believe, you know, God wants to speak to you as a church. And it is encouraging, but also maybe challenging as well. And it's something that I believe God is saying, but also doing, you know, in the church. Whenever in our church, anybody who brings a message, the first thing we say to them is, what we want you to do is go and pray and not ask God, what does he want to say? But firstly, ask God, what does he want to do? And because God wants to do something in our lives. And if we know what he wants to do, then often what he wants to say comes with that. Because we want Sundays or church to be more than just a message that we receive and then we go and do whatever we do. We want God to do something in our lives when we meet together so that we leave different than we arrived. And so I believe God's going to encourage, but also maybe challenge this morning. And this message that I've got really is something that God's been doing in us as a church and working in us as a people. So you can only obviously speak out what God is doing in your life. Just before I get into the message, there are some great things happening in the UK, some great things happening in Europe. It's been known, Europe, in its history as one of the mission-sending centres, in the world, and at one point was sending more missionaries out around the world than anywhere else. Maybe in the last 1800 years, there's been quite a reverse of that, and it's become maybe known as the backslider of the earth, and not necessarily the mission-sending place that it has been. But God's doing something new in Europe. And in the UK, there's been something happening for the last 30, 40 years. But in the last 2 or 3 years in particular, just a fresh release of the Holy Spirit. New churches being planted. Lots of people getting saved. Churches growing. It's a new day. And we're excited about what God's doing with us and in the church in the UK, and with the beginning of new things. And so what I'm going to share really is kind of, in essence, part of what God is doing in our country and particularly in our church as well. So if you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, if you've got your Bibles. If not, the words will come up on the screen so you can follow. And the title for this message is The Sea of Lostness. And there is no such word as lostness, not in the English dictionary. It might be an American word. And because one thing I've noticed is you guys are quite good at making up new words. And also the way you spell them is very interesting as well. So we're not going to have an English lesson today, but I have used this word, the sea of lostness, which is, so that's probably in the American dictionary. Do you have an American dictionary? Do you have that or not? Or do you use the English dictionary? Do you use the English dictionary? Why don't you spell things right then? Goodness me. So anyway, let's get into this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. What you are now... Whoops. Just get it back on the screen. What you are now is in direct contrast with what you used to be. Once you were spiritually dead because your lives were full of sin and disobedience to God's word. That is how you used to live when you lived according to the world's standards. Because you were subject to God's enemy, you belonged to that negative kingdom of darkness and were controlled by the spirit who still works in the disobedient. All of us at one time shared in that ungodly lifestyle, longing to satisfy our flesh or our selfish desires. We all sought to gratify our fleshly desires, and sin filled much of our thinking. Just like everybody else, we were subject of God's anger because of our sinful disposition. Despite all of this, because of his great love for us, God, who is so rich in mercy, actually brought us to life with Christ, even when we were spiritually dead because of our sins. What a wonderful work of his grace to save us out of the death and darkness of sin and out of the hands of the evil one we once served. I think God is amazing, don't you? He's incredible what he has done for us already. That the contrast that we see and the Bible talks about, the difference between when we don't know him and then when we do know him. The incredible work that Jesus accomplished on the cross, that Jesus took every punishment that we deserve, every way in which God could have treated us, he took out on Jesus, and Jesus took every punishment for our sin, for sickness, for every pain and guilt and shame. Jesus took that upon himself so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be brought back into relationship with God as God intended right at the beginning. And so I want to use a kind of pictorial analogy and use an example of something this morning to help us really understand what God wants to say this morning, but also what does he want to do in our lives, and what does he want to do in thousands of people's lives, if not more than that, in the region where you guys live. There's a guy called William Booth who started the Salvation Army well over 150 years ago. The guy was a man of God, phenomenal guy who pioneered some things in Britain over 150 years ago. And he was on a journey one day in a stagecoach, and he was on his way somewhere. And while he was on his journey, he was looking out of the window, and he was watching the people that were going past. And as he was watching the different people as he was on his journey, he went into a vision, and God showed him something. And the scene that God showed him was a very stormy kind of scene at sea, where the huge waves that were rising and falling, with very dark clouds, thunder, very kind of challenging kind of scene. And there were some shafts of light that were coming through, but really it was very dark, very stormy. And as he watched this scene before him, he realized in the water that there were people that were rising with the waves and falling with the waves and rising and falling. And as he watched, he realized that many of the people that rose with the waves, then when they went down, disappeared and didn't come back up. And as he continued to watch this scene, he watched this rock begin to appear in the middle of this storm, and this rock rose out of the sea. And as this rock rose out of the sea, there were a number of people that began to clamber onto this rock and began to find safety on this rock. And as they realized that they were saved, as they realized they were safe, as they realized they were out of this storm, they began to turn around, and they just grabbed anything they could get hold of, ropes and ladders and boats and everything that they could get their hands on. They began to throw these ropes and put these ladders down into the water and get on these boats and go back out to rescue anybody that they could get a hold of and bring them into this place of safety. And as he continued to watch, more and more people were coming out of the storm and out of this rough sea and onto this rock. And as he watched it, more and more people began to develop friendships and certain lifestyle that was on this rock and a place of safety. And some of these people began to develop a lifestyle that was geared more around their business, more around their work life. For some, their family became the center of everything that they were doing. For others, their hobby, their sport, their interest became the thing that really took their time and attention and their interest and their finances. And as he watched this scene, gradually the passion and the desperation that they had to reach people gradually kind of waned and fell away as their life began to be more formed around the life on the rock than it was about the lives that were still in the sea of lostness there. And they became familiar, became hard-hearted towards what was going on. Now, in the middle of that kind of situation, just want to read a little bit more of the word as to what the word says here, because we want to use this ladder as an analogy to show the life and the victory that we have in God and how God wants to turn that and use that to rescue and to reach people. Now, God has raised us up with Christ and sees us seated with him in heavenly places because he has placed us in Christ Jesus. He has done this so that in the future we might demonstrate that the riches of his grace are so immense that nothing can be compared to such riches. And that this grace has been shown to us because of his kindness towards us, expressed in all that Christ Jesus has done for us. Now, I need a volunteer, somebody who can give me a hand for this. One of you guys on the front row, you want to give us a hand? Yeah, come on then. What's your name? Sorry? Peyton. What a cool name. Peyton. Let's give Peyton a round of applause. Okay, can you just climb the ladder and sit on the top? Is that okay? Are you under 18? Okay, never mind. Right, on the top. How many of you have health and safety? What do you call it? Health and safety. In the UK, we've gone mad on health and safety. And in church, when we had this message, one of the guys on my team said, are you going to hold the ladder when you put somebody on the top? And I said, health and safety? And he said, yeah, we just got to make sure. And I said, mate, we live by faith, not by health and safety. So the person can sit on the top of this ladder by faith and trust that the thing is not going to fall over. And anyway, so What does the Bible say? And this analogy that we're using today, that what God has done for many of us in this room, he's taken us out of this sea of lostness. He's not only just placed us on this rock of salvation, where now we're safe and we're saved and everything's okay, and now we can go on living the life that we want to live. The Bible talks about that he's brought us out of darkness, brought us onto the rock of salvation, into the light of who he is. But the Bible says that we've also been raised to a new life in Christ. That when Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says that he was raised to be seated at the right hand of his Father. And so when you become a believer, when you come to know Christ, when you come to know God, you're taken out of all the things that separate you from God, the sin, the sickness, the pain, the shame, the guilt, everything that could condemn you and hold you down. And you're brought out of that place, this sea of lostness. You're brought onto the rock of salvation, but you're then raised to this new place in Christ. And the Bible says you become a co-heir with Christ. And you become an heir with God, that you are now seated at the right hand with God as a child of God and as a son of God. I think that's pretty awesome. How many of you know that Jesus has never known defeat? Jesus has never lost. He's only known victory. He's only known this overcoming life. And when Jesus hung on the cross for you and me, he took every pain, every guilt, every shame, every sickness. He took everything upon himself that could separate us from God. And because he took upon himself everything, he could stand or he could hang there and cry, "It is finished. It is done." Why? Because he won the victory over those things while he was hanging on the cross. Those things didn't defeat him and overcome him, so therefore he died on the cross because of those things. Otherwise, he'd have lost. But because he has the victory, and because he won the victory over those things, he could cry out, "It's finished, it's accomplished, it is done. The work has been done on the cross so that every sin, every pain, every guilt, every sickness has been dealt with. Everything that we deserve as people, that in the way that God should treat us, Jesus said, no, treat me in that way. Put it all on me so that it's possible for them to be forgiven, them to be healed, them to be made whole, them to be let off what they deserve. Put it on me." And that cry of victory is still going and resounding now in 2013. And so that's why when you give your life to Jesus, you're taken out of this sea of lostness, you're taken out of hopelessness, and you're brought into hope, and you're brought into a destiny in God, and you're raised to this new life in Christ, which is a life of victory. It's a life of overcoming. It's a life of God's goodness being worked out in our lives. What a great life that God has given us, this victorious life. But there's a challenge that I believe God wants to put before us. That as the church, we understand the richness of who God is, how he has blessed us, the life that he's given us, the forgiveness, the healing, the wholeness that we have as believers. This new life that he's given us, this relationship with God, he doesn't want us to just keep that to ourselves. It's very easy to get used to the life we have on this rock of salvation. It's very easy to get used to the business that we have, the work life that we have, the family life that we have, the friendship circles that we have. And on this rock of salvation that the platform represents, we can go about doing life and sharing life and being into this, that, and the other. And before we know where we are, we've forgotten where we came from. We've forgotten some of the pain, the separation, the guilt, the things that racked our lives. Because maybe for some, you've known Christ for many, many years. Maybe for some of us, we've even forgotten, we've turned our back on it, and we're so into the life that we've got now that it seems a bit of a distant memory. But God wants to remind us, hey guys, you're going to be with me forever. It's going to be awesome. But while you're on earth, there's a job to do. Let's have a look what else the Bible says. You okay out there? All right. Cool. It says in verse 8, you see, it's only because of his grace that you have been saved. It's all the work of God that any of us in this room have been saved from all this sea of lostness. All you did, all we had to do was put our faith in his willingness to be merciful and gracious towards us. So your salvation is not anything you could possibly have worked out for yourselves. It is completely God's gift to you. So if somebody's going to give you something, somebody's going to give you a gift, they want to bless you with it. So if you're going to receive a gift from somebody, you don't stand there with your hands down by your sides, and because if they're going to give you it, it's going to fall to the ground. But if you're going to, if somebody wants to give you a gift, you reach out and you take it and you say, thank you. If somebody's going to give you a gift, you don't turn around to them and say, yeah, I deserve that. You should have given me that ages ago. I was waiting till you gave that to me. You know, I mean, that's pretty arrogant if we have an attitude like that towards something. But if somebody wants to give you a gift or take you out for dinner or buy you something, some flowers or whatever it might be, and they give you something, wow, that humbles you because it's like, wow, thank you. And sometimes we don't know how to receive. We don't know how to, you know, because we feel embarrassed. But somebody wants to give you something because it's a gift. They want to bless you. Now, that's what God has given to us in terms of our salvation, in terms of being forgiven. God said, I'm going to do something that you don't deserve, and you're never going to be able to deserve. But because I want to give to you, because his nature is to give, I want to bless you. I want to give you the gift of my life. And I want to bring you out of the sea of lostness and not just place you on into a place of safety, but I want to raise you up to be at my right hand because you're a child of mine. You're a son of mine. You're an heir of mine. And I want you to rule and reign with me with this life of victory that I have because I've never been defeated. So if you're in me and you're a child of mine, then you have that victory. You have that overcoming life within you. So therefore, there is nothing in life that can overcome you. Even though there are challenges, if we live and believe and live in the way that God has called us to, then we can live in an overcoming, victorious life. But the rest of these verses say, you can never boast that you achieved acceptance by God through the works you have performed. The truth is that we are the work of God's own hands. How many of you know that God's never made a mistake? You're not a mistake today. That whatever God does is perfect. God doesn't just give you a little bit of himself and say, well, work with that for a while, and if you get on okay, I'll give you a bit more of myself. God gives himself fully when we give our lives to him. God gives us the fullness of his spirit when we give ourselves to him, when we give our lives to him. And then it takes the rest of our lives to work out everything that he's given us. Many Christians think that God has just given a bit of himself and we've got to try and get a bit more from God. No, he's given himself fully to you. You have the fullness of Christ in you. You have the fullness of his Holy Spirit in you. And for me, what the Christian life is about is then living to discover everything that God has already given me and living in the good of what he has already done. Then it says, the truth is that we are the work of God's own hands. Now we live in Christ Jesus. We are able to do the good works that are the evidence of our salvation. So your salvation is a gift from God. But the Bible says that there's the evidence of that salvation that are the good works or the things that God has planned in advance for us to see happen or to do. As the Bible says, these are the very works that God has planned and prepared for us to accomplish. Now, Jesus won this victory on the cross to reconcile mankind back to him. To open up the way, to make it possible for people like you and me to have a relationship with the Almighty, incredible, eternal God, the Creator. And so what God wants us to do is take this victorious life that he's given us, this overcoming life. And what he wants to do is jump back into the sea of lostness with this victorious, overcoming life. Not to get lost or to be lost in the way that we were, but actually to take this life to those that are lost and those that don't know him at this point. As William Booth was watching this vision, and he was watching this sea of lostness, the rock, and the people coming onto the rock, He said some of the people even called out to the mainland that he could see in the distance, and people on this rock, as if God was over there somewhere on the mainland, saying, and they were asking God to visit them on the rock, saying, God, come and bless us, come and visit us. And as they were doing that, and they were calling out to this, where they thought God was on the mainland, to come and visit them and bless them again, what he began to notice in the sea of lostness was there was somebody that seemed to rise with the waves, not with a look of fear and a cry to be saved from despair, but the look on this person's face was calling out to the people on this rock that were the believers, the Christians, and as he began to call out, saying, hey guys, you need to come and help me to reach those that are lost, that don't know me, he realized that it was Jesus out in the sea of lostness. That Jesus wasn't on this mainland over there. That Jesus wasn't even on the rock. But Jesus was out in the sea of lostness amongst the storms of life and everything that was going on. And he was calling to the people that had got so familiar with their life and the way things were. He's saying, guys, you're going to be with me forever. But there's a job to do. You need to come out here. Get out here. Move out here. Come and help me get the people onto the rock and up into this place of relationship with the Father. And as he began to call the people, some people began to hear the sound and the cry that was coming from Jesus out there. And they began to realize that they got into a lifestyle that was, you know, that was just inclusive with their friends, and it began to exclude the people that they once knew and where they came from. And some people began to respond to the cry, and they realized, man, we've got to get out there. I've realized my life has become more centered around being on the rock and being safe and everything I've got into. But actually, I need to be shaken out of this. And various people began to then put ropes again into the water and ladders down, and others got boats. And some people actually then began to dive back into the water, to get back into where Jesus was, realizing I've got to take this victorious, overcoming life that I've got. I've got to jump back in with that life, with God's heart, with God's mercy, with God's compassion. I need to get back into where the people are and help to bring them back onto this rock of salvation. And I believe this is one of the main things that God is doing in the church, whether in this nation or in the UK or in Europe, wherever. That God's turning the church inside out, saying, guys, you've got to exist now for everybody that is not part of the church yet. Everybody that's outside of the kingdom of God. This is why you're here. This is why I've come. This is why I'm working in my church. This is why I'm calling from this sea of lostness. This is where I am. It's like Jesus saying, that's where I'm. I'm out where all these people are. You don't need another conference. You don't need another DVD. You don't need another Christian channel. You don't need this, that, and the other. You need to just go with what you already have, and you'll see it come alive in a whole new way if you put it to work. You know? See, God's changing. It's not about the big preacher who's well known on a screen on the telly. You have a lot more than that than we do, and it's bad enough where we come from. Guys who are lining their pockets in all kinds of different ways. I won't go any further. I think Jesus would do a lot of rebuking if he turned up on the planet and walked around and he met a few people. He would upset a lot of people in the church if he was on earth now. Because where Jesus is where the people are. Jesus is not on a platform. He's not on a TV screen asking for your money. Jesus is out where people are crying out, where they're in pain, where they're hurting, where they don't have an answer, where they don't have hope. That's where he is. He's out there where the people are. And he's saying, are you going to come and help me? Are you going to be where I am? It could be your neighbor. It could be your work colleague. It could be a friend. You don't have to. God's not saying you have to suddenly just go into the worst places in town and do this, that, and the other. You've got to go where he's showing you to go. But you've got to be open to that. He might say, your neighbor's the first guy you've got to reach. Or your mate at work, your friend at work, he's the guy. Take him out for lunch. Just begin to get to know the guy on another level. Just begin to open up your heart and your life to him. Invite his family over for a barbecue. You can have a barbecue due at any time you want over here. We have 3 days in the year we can have a barbecue. You know, you see, God's heart, I believe, is just bursting for people who don't know him. and for people like you and me, who sometimes feel out of our depth, don't know what to say, don't know what to do, don't know how to handle situations and people. But yet he's just looking for somebody who's available, for a couple that are available, for a family that are available. And he's just, who's going to come and help me? Who's going to work with me? The only way we're going to learn is by doing it. And it doesn't matter how many people you led to Christ, how many situations you've been in, everyone is unique. Everyone is different. A lot of the time for me, I'm chatting with somebody, and it's not like you can repeat all the same things you've said to that person, because this person's unique. They're an individual. Every time it's like, Holy Spirit, I don't know what to say. I could come out with all the stuff, but you know this person. You know what needs to happen. So Holy Spirit, how do I talk to them? What do I say? Are there any stories? Are there any analogies? Is there anything in my life that's relevant? Is there anything from the Bible you want to say to them? It's like every time you spend time with somebody who doesn't know Jesus, it's like it's the first time. It's not like, oh, some people are better at it than others. Maybe some are better because they've just done it more. But I believe this morning there's two things. Thanks very much. You want to, let's just give her a round of applause. I believe that we just want to surrender our lives in a fresh way to the Lord. Maybe some of you, your business has become the thing you just, it sucks you in, and that's what you give everything to. Maybe it's your family. Now, I'm not saying family is not important, but sometimes something can become so focused that everything else comes second to that. Could be a sport, hobby, your interest. I don't know. Could be all sorts of different things. And maybe the Holy Spirit's pinpointing for some of us today, hey, I just want you to submit that to me in a fresh way, so that it's not your focal point, your center point anymore. Some of you are called into business, and that's what you do. That's the call. That's where the anointing is. But it's like God wants you to reach people there. There's some pretty wealthy people around here. And maybe some of you work with some of the people that for most of us, we would never ever come into contact with, because they live in a world that most of us don't live in. And maybe some of you, God's put something on your heart, and there's some key people in this area that God wants you to reach. Maybe there's other people, you live next door, your friend, your neighbor, your mate, your work colleague, whoever it is. But I believe God wants us to submit and surrender afresh to him. But also, maybe there's people here today and you don't know Jesus. And you're like, man, I feel like I'm in this sea of lostness. But yet you talk about God like he's a rescue agent. It's a place of safety, hope, destiny, future. Absolutely, he is. And God's heart is for you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows what happens when you lie on your bed at night and you look up in the ceiling. Sometimes you've asked yourself, what am I doing here? What is this all about? Why am I alive? What's my purpose? And you're alive because God's created you to be alive. What's your purpose? It's actually to know him and have a relationship with him. When you know those two things, I'm here to know him and this is why I'm alive. Everything else begins to fall into place. Let's just close our eyes, shall we, this morning. Rather than just thinking thoughts, it'd be really good to put words to your thoughts this morning, because then you have to really be specific about what you're saying. Maybe just talk to the Lord today. If you know there's a particular area in your life or something in your that is your focal point or grabs your attention, or while we've been talking you feel like, wow, yeah, I realize my life is more geared around what's going on the rock and all my friends than actually what's going on in the sea of lostness. And the sea of lostness is all around us. God doesn't want to condemn us today. He wants to encourage us. Say, hey guys, look at the life I've given you. Look at the victory. Look at the overcoming life that you have. Look at the power, the authority of who I am that you can move in. I want to work that through your life to impact so many others' lives. So maybe just talk to the Lord. Just surrender to him today. If it's your family, it's become the focal point rather than him being your focal point. Just submit your family. Father, reorientate my heart, my mind, my thinking. If it's your business and you're driven by success or pressure, whatever it might be, just submit that. Father, forgive me that I've made my business my focal point, that that's become everything. I didn't realize it. I just thought, you know, Father, I just submit afresh that to you. I want you to be my focal point. Maybe it's a sport, a hobby, an interest. Don't know, it might, whatever it is, you submit that. God, reorientate my life. Reorientate who you are in me. I want you to be the focal point, you to be the center, so that everything flows out of that. Father, I thank you for your heart, your compassion for those that don't know you. Father, I thank you, you just trigger something fresh in me today for my friends, my neighbors, my work colleagues, my school friends, my college friends. Father, open up my eyes in a new way. Let me see people in the way that you see them. Let me see an element where people look lost, where they are lost, and that you would just do something in my heart as I go from today and look at people. Help me to see them with your eyes so that I move with compassion to respond in obedience to what you want me to do. Maybe some of you here today, you don't know Jesus. You've never responded to his incredible love, his unfailing love, and his amazing mercy. He doesn't treat us as we deserve. But he says to you today, I want to give you the gift of my life. I want to give you the gift of who I am today. Maybe the first time today you might respond to Jesus. God wants to bring you out of the sea of lostness and place you onto this rock of salvation and then raise you to a new life in him, giving you a hope, a destiny, knowing why you're alive, what you're here for. Maybe if that's you today and you don't know Jesus and your heart is beating, things are just kicking off inside you right now. If you want to respond and take that first step towards Jesus, just going to ask you if you can just raise your hand for a moment so I can see you, because I'd love to pray for you where you are. If there is anybody today, this morning, you're saying, yeah, I want to say yes to Jesus, take that first step. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Just raise your hand so I can see you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Just where you're sitting now, if you've raised your hand, just talk to Jesus. Firstly, just thank him for what he's done for you. Just thank him that he hasn't treated you as you deserve. Just thank him for his amazing mercy. Thank him for his incredible love. Now just ask him to forgive you. Jesus, forgive me for all the things I've done that have separated me from you. Jesus, I want to respond to your goodness today. I want to come out of the sea of lostness and onto this rock of salvation, into relationship with you. So Jesus, I give you my life right now and ask you to give me your life. I thank you for peace that comes into my life today, that total well-being. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray right now for those that have raised their hands, that you'd become so real in their lives today. Father, I just pray for this church. Father, I thank you for what you're already doing and the way things are growing and going forward. But Father, I thank you for just an increase of a download of your heart into the lives of the people in this church, that they'd be ready to respond to you, to do whatever you want to do, whatever it takes, to see people coming out of the sea of lostness, whether it's throwing a rope in, a ladder down, or making a boat, or diving in, whatever it is. Thank you, this church increasingly becomes a church that moves with compassion. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome, mighty name. Amen.
If you made a decision this morning, you were one of the ones that raised your hand, I would encourage you to do one more thing on your own. In your worship guide, there's a connect card, and on the connect card there's a box that says, I made a decision to put God first in my life today. I would encourage you to check that box. You can drop it off in one of the tithe and offering boxes as you leave today. We want to connect with you. We want to help you walk out that decision in your life. We want to help you figure out what the next steps are and really make it count, make it matter, and find your place in God's family. Also outside, we have these booklets at our information table that say, "Now what?" Many times when people make that decision, the natural question is, "Now what? What do I do next?" This book will take you through it, as well as we have Bibles. If there is anybody here today that does not have a Bible, we want to give you a Bible as a gift. We want to make sure you're in the Word of God and help you get in the Word of God. We as a church read the Bible daily in a devotional that we call SOAP. There's bookmarks outside with our daily reading. Today we're in Acts and Numbers. How many of you who are reading, aren't you glad that we're out of Leviticus? We just finished Leviticus. Thank God. We as a church family love to read the Word of God together. And we just got through Leviticus, and that was tough. That was a tough couple weeks. But thank God we're now into Numbers. But I encourage you to get a Bible, read with us, go through the Bible. We're going to read the whole Bible this year together as a church family. Join us on this reading plan as we're all reading the same thing together as a church family. Clive, thank you so much for challenging us. Thank you. We, as a church, can never forget, we don't gather on Sunday for ourselves. We are here today for those who aren't here. That's why we come together. We come together to be mobilized, to be empowered, and to be equipped to reach a lost and dying world. Through the process, we believe you're going to grow. We believe you're gonna become a disciple and you're going to learn things about God. But that's not our motivation. Our motivation is to be empowered to go out and reach people. You know what the definition of spiritual maturity is? Spiritual maturity is how much you love lost people and what you're doing about it. So I know people who've taught the Bible for years and years and years in Sunday school who are some of the most immature people because they're not doing anything about the lost. See, spiritual maturity, growing to become like Jesus Christ, means you've got to love what Jesus loved. Well, what did he love? Look at the cross. Look at the cross and you'll figure out what he loved. If you want to be like Jesus, you got to love what he loved, and that's people. That's people who don't know him. We got to give our life to dive into the sea of lostness and rescue every person we can get a hold of and bring them into the kingdom. That's why we exist as a church. You hear me say it all the time. We're here to make it hard to go to hell in North County. That's why we're here. We want to make it hard to go to hell. We want people to see such love and life and power in us that people are attracted to what we have because it's powerful. We're not in competition with any other church. We're in competition with hell. That's it. And we want to do something about it. We want to do something about it. Stand with me as we close today. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we love you. We praise you. Let us never forget that this incredible gift you've given each and every one of us, you've rescued us from the sea of lostness. You've placed us on the rock. You did not treat us the way we deserved. Let us never forget how awesome that incredible gift is, and that we now have a calling to share that gift with everyone that has not yet experienced it. So let that become the mission of our life. Bless us as we go forward this week into our communities, into our workplaces, into our homes, into our neighborhoods, and we become the light, the salt that you created us to be. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. We'll see you next week. Have a wonderful week. Mm-hmm.